As Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Burson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Acts, chapter 21, verse 25, where we left off last time. Excuse me. Acts chapter 21, verse 25. Before we begin, I want to invite again every Christian in America to join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m., either in person or wherever you are, to pray fervently for the United States of America, that Jesus be our Lord and the Bible our book. All of you are invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping. I am in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Burson's produce place. I am at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Acts chapter 21, verse 25. We began this chapter last week, and God gave us a great title, Four Virgins, Four Dynasties, and Four Vows. It was one more God-awesome in-depth teaching. Now, as the curtain goes up, we begin with verse 25. Our beloved Apostle Paul is being criticized by the new converts of Judah because he's been getting the Gentiles saved, but he tells them they do not have to be circumcised in the flesh, that circumcision is now of the heart. So to keep peace, Peter and John and the apostles at the first church said, Paul, we know you know what you're doing, but to keep peace, there are four men taking a vow. How about you joining them, go in with them, and then the new converts of Judah will see that you're not breaking the law of Moses and all will be well. So Paul says, all right, I'll do that.
25, as such of the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing.
So then Peter and John say, but Paul, as you know, we wrote a letter to the Gentiles. They do not have to be circumcised.
Say that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangle, and from fornication.
Because they were heathens, they need now to not eat things offered to idols. They need to make sure that the chicken and the beefsteaks got all the blood off before they eat it. And they need to stop sexual immorality. No more sex out of wedlock.
26. Then Paul took the men and the next day purified himself with them. They entered the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them.
A lot of that vow was that they were to drink no wine, nothing of the grapevine, and that they were to shave their heads. So, okay, everything's okay so far.
27. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the eunuchs which were of Asia.
Now, you notice I never say the word Jew because it's an incorrect translation. The Greek is eunuchs, so you hear me say that, but it has three different meanings. It either means our beloved brother Judah, one of the 12 tribes who we love very much, or it means a resident of Judea, or it means those who say they're Judah, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. They are the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They're the descendants of Cain, and Cain is a child of the devil when that old serpent beguiled Eve in the garden. Methinks that these are the Kenites.
When they saw that he was in the temple, stirred up all the people.
They always cause trouble. You see trouble, you see mob violence, the Kenites are in the detail.
Yep. And laid hands on him.
They actually captured Paul.
28. Crying out, men of Israel, this is the man which teacheth men everywhere against the people and the law.
They are lying.
This place. And further brought Greeks into the temple.
You know, they're lying. You know why they're lying? because their daddy is a devil. One of the devil's name is Beelzebub. He's called the Lord of Flies. Remove the F and you got lies. Wasn't that cute?
Yeah.
We have polluted this holy place. 29. For they had seen with him before in the city Trophanius, which was an Ephesian, who they suppose Paul had brought into the temple.
Again, they lie. They're just making up a story.
30. All the city was moved, and the people ran together. And they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him,
they were going to kill him.
Tidings came unto the chief captain of the band.
Aha. Uh-huh. At the 11th hour, God moves in. God protects his elect. This is a chief captain. Now, he's not going to like all this uproar because the Roman soldiers are all around. And if anybody makes an uproar, the Roman soldiers get tough.
That all Jerusalem was in an uproar. 32. And immediately he took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul.
Thank goodness they stopped beating Paul because they saw all these soldiers.
33. Then the chief captain came and took him and commanded he be bound with two chains.
Remember last week, Agabus, his name means locust, prophesied that Paul would be bound. Well, the prophecy has come true.
And demanded who he was and what he had done.
Who are you, Paul? What have you done that they want to kill you?
34. And some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. And when he could not know of a certain the tumult.
Any time there's a mob, one says one thing, one another. Half of those people burning down buildings and churches don't even know why they're there. Many of them get paid to do that.
He commanded him to be carried into the castle.
Well, God uses this heathen to protect Paul. Take him into the castle. In other words, there's a mob, there's a stairway, and there's a castle. Take Paul to the castle so he won't be killed.
35. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers.
The soldiers picked up Paul and took him up the stairs, and they were going to carry him into the castle. Now, see, Paul is standing at the top of the stairs, all of this mob's around wanting to kill him.
For the violence of the people.
Violent. The kingdom is taken by violence.
36. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him." 37. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" And he said, "Canst thou speak Greek?"
He was amazed. Yes, Paul could speak Greek. He could speak many languages.
38. Art not thou that Egyptian, which before these days madest an uproar, and leddest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?
I thought you were that bad guy, says the chief captain to Paul.
39. But Paul said, I am a man which am an Eulus of Tarsus.
Now, actually, he was not of the tribe of Judah, but he was of the house of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He's a seed of Abraham.
A city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city.
He almost says, I'm a citizen of Rome, but he holds that because that's his trump card.
And I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people.
May I speak to the people, says Paul.
40. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs, and beckoning with the hand unto the people.
Please be quiet and hear me.
And when this made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying.
They were so glad he could speak Hebrew. They were beginning to say, wait a minute, who is this person? We speak Hebrew. He speaks Hebrew.
Acts chapter 22, verse 1.
As always, I ask God to show me his heart so I can share it with your heart. From God's heart to my heart to your heart, Here's the title. What shall I do, Lord? What shall I do, Lord? Want to say it? What shall I do, Lord?
Verse 1. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you.
Paul says, listen to me. Let me defend myself.
Verse 2. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue, to them they kept the more silent. And he said, 3. I am verily a man, which am an Eudas, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel.
I studied with a great Hebrew teacher, Gamaliel.
And taught according to the perfect manner of the law.
I taught in your synagogues, in other words, the law of Moses. Remember, they want to kill him because they thought he had forsaken the law of Moses because he said you don't have to be circumcised anymore.
Of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are unto this day.
Paul says, I love God just like you do. The truth is, Paul did, before he got converted, he thought that Jesus was some upstart who was going to upset the one true God. He was sincere, but he had been sincerely wrong. Of course, that's before he got converted.
Sure. And I persecuted this way.
This way was what they called the Christians. Before they were called Christians, they were called the way. So Paul says, I've persecuted Christians.
Unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. 5. And also the high priest will bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders.
Just go down to the synagogue, ask the high priest. They'll tell you, I was really zealous for God. I was persecuting Christians.
From whom also I received letters unto the brethren. I went to Damascus.
They even gave me letters to go to Damascus and arrest those Christians.
To bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. 6. And it came to pass as I made my journey, I was come nigh unto Damascus about noon. Suddenly, there shone from heaven a great light round about me.
Paul had seen the Shekinah glory of God. That was Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world, and God is the Father of lights. Shekinah in the Hebrew means the very presence of God.
7. And I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
Any time a Christian is persecuted for righteousness' sake, the ones doing the persecution are persecuting Jesus. Why? We're the body, and Jesus is the head.
8. And I answered, Who art thou, Lord?
Are you the Lord?
And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. 9. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid.
The people with him, they saw the light, they were afraid. They even heard a sound, but they didn't know what the sound was.
But they heard not the voice of him that spake to me.
Understand that when a person is lost, you don't start giving them all kind of deep Bible teaching. They can't hear it. They can't hear the voice of God. Get them saved, and then teach them God's word. By the way, Paul there on the stairs would not have said Jesus. He would have said Yeshua. Jesus is the English translation of Yeshua, which is the Hebrew pronunciation of Jesus. And since his audience were Hebrew, he would have said Yeshua. But in English, we say Jesus.
10. And I said, What shall I do, Lord?
Paul said, What shall I do, Lord? At that moment, Paul walked into his destiny. Paul started the very purpose God had sent him. Everything in his life changed. He would no longer be that respected teacher in the synagogue with a salary. He would leave his family, his sister, his nephew. He would never be married. But do you know, great is his reward in heaven, because he moved into his destiny. Now, everyone under the sound of my voice, every baby that has ever been born in the flesh, God has a purpose and a destiny for your life. Before he put your spirit into your mother's womb, he had a book about you. He wrote your members down. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb, and he had a purpose and a calling. He even gave you gifts and talents which would help you walk into that purpose and calling. And that those talents and gifts, as we learned last week, would also provide your living. So why is it that very few people ever fulfill the purpose of God in their life? And even more sadly, why is it that very few Christians ever fulfill the purpose of God? Oh, they get saved. And I asked a wonderful woman, Dr. Mary Horgan, I used to play the organ at her church, and I asked her why, and she said, Sherry, they muddle through life somehow. In other words, why do so few Christians who love Jesus ever fulfill your purpose? Why? Here's why. Because you listen to the wisdom of the world. God's word says the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. The wisdom of the world tells you to get money, get power, get fame, have fun. And all of that is plastic banana nothingness, as Rush Limbaugh says. Phony baloney, plastic banana, good time rock and roll. Thank you, Rush Limbaugh. It's absolutely nothing. So, what can you do to find your purpose in life? The Lord has given me a beautiful way to touch every human being on the face of the earth with his wisdom now. I'm going to put you into three categories, and I'm going to start with the children, boys and girls. I have led children to Jesus as young as 5 years old, but I'm going to call you teenagers, teenage boys and teenage girls. How do you find God's purpose in your life? Of course, we're talking to people who are saved. You have to be saved first. Teenagers, number one, surrender your all to Jesus. Number two, teenagers, read your Bible every day and pray every day. The Bible says in Psalm 32:8, I will teach you and instruct you the way you should go. And when you pray every day, teenagers, say, what shall I do, Lord? Number three, teenagers, choose your friends wisely. Do not choose friends, teenagers, because they are pretty or handsome or popular or wealthy. Teenagers, choose your friends who are saved, who love Jesus, who love the Bible. And number four, teenagers, go to church every time the door opens. Go where the word is taught, where the spirit is led, because that is where you're going to hear your instruction. And when you're not there, you're missing your instruction. And teenagers, bring your friends with you. And teenagers, when you go to church, don't be a spectator, participate. Pray before, pray after, and listen to God. And number five, teenagers, stay focused on all the above. And at some point, God will tell you, teenagers, your purpose in life. Okay, now we go to adults. All right. Very probably, you have a job. Maybe you own a business. Maybe you have a career or some kind of a special work that you do. It's possible that you're married and have children. And you say, oh, Lord, I wish I'd known. I wish I'd gotten saved before I got this job. I wish I'd gotten saved before I married this person. I wish I'd gotten married saved before I got these children. It is never too late. Never, 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 no. Adults, what do you do to find God's purpose in your life? Number one, surrender your all to Jesus. Number two, read God's word every day and pray every day. Remember Psalm 32:8. He will teach you, instruct you the way you should go. And every day pray, what shall I do, Lord? Number three, adults, You also go to church every time the door opens, where the Holy Spirit is, where there's someone there who's going to be led by the Spirit, where you hear the Word of God, and when you go participate, pray before, pray after. And number four, adults, what you do, number four, now, listen to the slightest nuance of the Holy Spirit. Just listen. Do not shut your ears. Pay attention. And number five, adults, obey the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you adults, he's going to say, you stay right there on that job where you are. You keep that business going. You stay in that career. Because right where you are, do the best you can with what you have where you are for Jesus' sake today and make that work a ministry. Some of you will say that. However, some of you, even though you've got kids and you got to pay their teeth, he will say, stop. Walk over the bridge. Walk over the bridge over troubled waters. Now, here is where you need to have walking on water faith. God will provide it. Whatever he tells you to do, I can assure you that on the other side of that bridge over troubled waters, God's got somebody stationed, a man, a woman of God, who knows you are called, chosen, and elected, who will pray for you, who will stand with you, and will be there for you. So therefore you have it, and it's never too late. Now, let's go to the third category of people. We'll call you old people. Nobody's old. We're all born the same time. But that might be those of you who are shut-ins. Maybe you're in a wheelchair, and that's where you live. You say, oh, I wish I could have done God's work. It's too late. I'm too old. I'm shut in. I'm not well. Wait just a minute. Moses was 80 years old before he moved into his destiny. When Moses was 80 years old, he was on the backside of a mountain tending some cattle, and he saw a burning bush, and it was God, the fire. And God said, Moses, right now, step into your destiny, your purpose, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. At 80 years old, Moses served God in his full purpose for 40 years. God provided everything he needs. Do you know that most people, even if they find the purpose, don't do it for 40 years? So you see, he served until he was 120 years old, and then God took him. Joshua was 80 years old, and he had led the people in the promised land. He saw a mountain, and he said, God, can I have that mountain? God said, yep, go and take it. He climbed up it, and he took it. I could tell you story after story after story of people after they're 75 years old find God's purpose. So what do? Shut ins, surrender your all to God. Read God's word every day and pray, what shall I do? And number three, here's what you can do. The greatest ministry anyone can have next to teaching God's word is to be a powerful intercessory prayer. Now, that's not saying prayers like you read the telephone book. God bless Susie. God bless Johnny. I hope you'll heal her. I hope you'll leave. First of all, shut in your wheelchair there. Romans 8:26. For we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit will intercede for you with groanings which cannot be uttered, that you pray according to Father's will. Let the Holy Spirit pray for you. Then, shut in what you do. Surrender your all to God. Make an appointment. Set a specific time and place. It might have to be your wheelchair or your bed or your closet. Make a specific time every day and keep that appointment with God. And you enter and say, Father, I'm going to pray for others. I ask you to accept this prayer as a sweet-smelling savor in your nostrils. Then first of all, you're going to have to make a list. Later on, you'll have them memorized. List names. By name, don't say, bless all your children, bless God, bless the world. No. By name, name people. Johnny, Susie, Mary, Tommy, Scott, Angela, Mark, Laura, on and on, Carmen, Nilda, everybody. Just name them one by one. And then you name politicians. You'd be surprised. I watch people on television. I pray for them, and I watch them change from devil to Jesus.
Amen.
And they don't even know I'm praying for them. Mm-hmm. Nations, America, make a list and then pray God's word about them. You don't pray, I don't know what to pray about them. Find the word of God. Pray God's word back. God's word does not return void. It accomplishes which he pleases.
Amen.
Now, this is an awesome ministry, and you could do this. That would be probably shut-ins, a greater work than most Christians do all of their life. So you see, it's never too late. Now, you can also say, what shall I do for any problems you have about your body, your finances, your work? But America can say, what can I do? America, what can you do? We can all come together as the body of Christ, 2 Chronicles 7:14. We can humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways and repent. And God will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sins.
Amen.
And heal our land.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I want every young person, every teenager, those who are live in here with me, and those out all over America and all over the world, I want you to say, what shall I do, Lord? Ready? What shall I do, Lord? I want every adult in here and all over the world to say with me, what shall I do, Lord? Every old senior citizen person shut in, say with me, what shall I do, Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus. And there it shall be told unto thee all things that are appointed for thee to do.
Paul left everything he knew. He was going there to arrest the Christians. He didn't know what was on the other side of the bridge over troubled waters. But God said, have the walking on the water faith. I've got somebody stationed over there. Do you understand God has put somebody before you? You didn't even know it. You heard this message. Did you realize God's put somebody before you to help you move into your destiny?
Amen.
Amen. 11. And when I could not see for the glory of that light.
That light had blinded Paul.
Being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. 12. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the eunuchs which dwelt there. 13. He came unto me and said unto me, Brother Saul.
Notice that Ananias said, Brother Saul. On the other side of the bridge over troubled waters, as Paul walks on the water by faith, leaving everything familiar, the money and everything and the fame and never being able to marry, God had stationed a family member. God has other brothers and sisters. We're all the family of God. He doesn't drop you off at Hollywood and Vine without a spiritual babysitter. He's got someone planted before you to say, sure, you can do this.
Amen.
Receive my sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. 14.
His sight was restored.
The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth.
Paul would later write in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, you're chosen from before the foundation of the world. Foundation is a Greek word, katabol, which means in the world that then was, the first earth age. Remember, you were there in spirit, not in flesh. It was then. Every one of you was either chosen, God's elect, or called. In other words, every one of you has been sent to this earth for God's glory.
Amen.
15. And I shall be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard.
And what a witness Paul has been. For 2,000 years, we have been being blessed by his writings. A witness. Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, Colossians, Philemon, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Romans, Hebrews, on and on and on. What a witness. Now, he gave up everything, but just think what a great reward he has in heaven.
Amen. 16. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord.
So Paul was baptized.
17. And it came to pass that I was come again unto Jerusalem. Even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. 18. And saw him saying unto me, make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me.
Now remember, Paul's on the top of the stairs telling them all of this. Now, he said, the Lord showed me that when I come to Jerusalem, remember he had just come to Jerusalem, he said they're not going to receive me. That prophecy came true. That had to touch their hearts. Wait, we are trying to kill him.
19. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed in thee.
They know I persecuted the Christians.
20. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death. I kept the raiment of them that slew him.
I consented to Stephen's death.
21. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles.
Now underline the word Gentiles.
22. And they gave him audience until this word.
Now, all of those people thought they were better than Gentiles. A Gentile is anyone who's not of the Abrahamic seed. That word sets them on fire. It's going to cause mob violence.
Then lifted up they their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live.
Kill him.
23. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air. 24. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and made that he should be examined by scourging.
The chief captain is again going to save his life. He says, take Paul in there, severely interrogate him, and beat him until he tells you who he is.
Whereby he might know wherefore they cried so against him. 25. And as they bound him with bonds, Paul said unto the centurion which stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?
That's his trump card. See, while Paul was Hebrew, he was a Roman citizen, and Caesar had a law that if anybody beat, arrested, or put in prison a Roman citizen, the one who did it would be put to death. Look at that. God just protects his elect.
Amen.
26. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. 27. And then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? And he said, yea. 28. And the chief captain answered, with great sum attained I this freedom.
The chief captain said, I had to pay a lot of money to get my freedom.
But Paul said, I was freeborn.
Paul says, I was freeborn, and you are freeborn. You have heard the truth, and the truth makes you free.
Amen.
You have a purpose. You have a destiny. I challenge you. I charge you with all my heart. Don't make one more moment's delay. Right now, surrender all and move into your destiny by saying, what shall I do, Lord? I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We'll begin right there next time, but right now I want to introduce to you the owner of the produce place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Burson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. Very blessed after that. Very blessed.
Good word.
Amen.
Well, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18.
Absolutely. The glory of God. Thank
Amen.
You, Scott. That's great Scott stuff.
Good stuff.
In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But first of all, let me pray for anyone who's not saved. If you're not saved or not sure you're saved, pray this prayer with me, and God will save you now and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I repent for all my sins.
I repent for all my sins.
I stop them.
I stop them.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, for those of you listening out there, in a little while, you'll hear my telephone number. I invite you to call and leave that message on my voicemail, because confession is made into salvation. And now let me pray for anyone who is sick. Precious Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, you told us in Isaiah 43:26 to put you in remembrance of your word. So, Father, I put you in remembrance of your word in Malachi chapter 4. You said to those who fear the Lord, that means revere you and love you, that the Son of Righteousness would arise with healing in your wings. Father, I understand the wings are the laser beams of healing light of Jesus. So now, Father, in Jesus' name, for everyone who's listening, I ask, Father God, that you will heal every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, every affliction. Anything that is inside anyone's body that's harmful to them, or on their body that's harmful to them, let that thing be gone in the name of Jesus. Cancer, be gone. Hernias, be gone. Coronavirus, be gone. Blindness, be gone. Deafness, be gone. Arthritis, be gone. Inflammation, be gone. Fever, be gone. Infection, be gone. Blood clots, be gone. Tumors, be gone. In the name of Jesus, death, be gone. And Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you will restore health and cure. I ask that anything missing in anyone's body that they need, you will make a new body part. You are God. Anything that's out of order, put it back in order. Anything that's pinched, unpinched it. Anything that's blocked, unblocked it. Anything that's dead, bring it back alive. Anything misaligned, realign it. From the top of the head, the soles of the feet, blood and muscles and nerves and tendons and kidneys and bladders and stomach and intestines and colon and hearts and lungs and pancreas and liver and ears and eyes and nose and sinus and brains and legs and feet and toes and backs and arms and breast and skin and nose. Be healed. He said his word and healed you. Pick up your bed and walk. You will restore health and cure to you. He heals you of your wounds. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. You shall not die, but live and declare the works of God. You go from strength to strength. You are strong. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who healeth thee. Thank you, Father. And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Nothing is given to you to keep, so go and tell. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you with all my heart. I feel your spirit, and I know you have heard God's word today, and I love you for that. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together again as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
And heaven and nature sing. And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Up on the mountain where your love captured me, where finally I'm free, this I know. Up on the mountain where you taught my soul to sing, amazing grace, the sweetest thing, this I know. And then the storm rushing in, and here I am again, this I know. Take me up to where I was when I never wanted more than you. Lift me up to feel your touch, it wouldn't be that much for you. This I know. Me by the hand, taught me to dance again, this I know. Up on the mountain where you took this heart of stone, put life back in these bones, this I know. Take me up to where I was when I never wanted more than you. Lift me up to feel your touch, it wouldn't that much for you. This I know. This I know. This I know. This I
time of the year, we're gonna celebrate. It's Christmas. being cold. Those old Christmas movies that never get old.